With the creation of the new eGov Cybersecurity and Cyber and National Security Unit inside of OMB, CyberStat's a big focus for us on picking which agencies we're going to look at and then actually having those detailed conversations about, you know, with the collection of all the metrics we have to sit down. And the intent of them is to get at what we need to do to enhance their cybersecurity. We're not there to play gotcha. We're there to actually help them enhance their security posture and really be able to better defend their systems and networks and make sure that we both, the agency and OMB, have a clear understanding of kind of where they're at.
This new cyber unit within the eGov office, when's it going to make its first, if you will, public appearance? When's it going to start working with agencies? Is it already being staffed up? Give me a sense of where you're at with the development.
It's been working with agencies since before it was actually created, because the people that had been working with agencies are continuing to work with them. Trevor Rudolph, who's heading up the unit, is in the process of staffing, so he's got a couple people on staff. He's got some vacancies that he's working and to bring more people on, and it's really going to be just a continuous evolution as he moves forward.
Why do you think there was a need for this type of unit? I mean, OMB was doing CyberStat already. DHS has the Federal Network Resilience Group. They have US CERT. Why one more group? What's the difference going to be from an outsider's perspective?
I think it's really about amount of resources that need to be on this. There's also been, with the creation of this unit, conversations with the National Security Staff and Michael Daniels' organization on some of the things they were doing, looking at the federal government, that really are an OMB role. And so some of this is a shift as well. And obviously, cybersecurity continues to be an important area. It's been an important area. And the timing, I would actually argue to some degree, this is more a codification of an evolution OMB's been going through for a while.
In many ways, what we've seen over the last, you know, 6 years of this administration is a movement where a lot of the cyber stuff that was traditionally in OMB went to the White House. Is this maybe it coming back now to OMB because of the FISMA update law, because of other laws that came in that says, you know, OMB really is that centerpiece of federal cybersecurity oversight?
The way I would look at it is that we have to institutionalize the way we're doing our cybersecurity oversight of the federal space. And so the National Security Staff has kind of some distinctive roles from a national and international and private sector work, and OMB really owns that federal government oversight. And so I would say we're clarifying some of the delineation, and we're making sure that all of this cyber oversight is going to be able to really get institutionalized into the day-to-day way we do oversight, because we don't want it to be a one-off. We want it to be continual and steeped in, you know, policy and processes.
You came over to OMB back in, I think, October timeframe. So it's been a few months. What's your initial take of your time there so far? Is it everything you expected it to be? Do you ever get to see your family and friends again? OMB, we know, is a tough place to work.
It's been great. So it's a very, very different from my last role at DIA, where I was running a large organization and had all the operational and personnel issues associated with that. And it's a very different view of the world from DOD and the IC to now the broader federal government. So it's been eye-opening for me. It's personally rewarding, professionally rewarding, and exciting right now, particularly with the FISMA legislation, the FITARA legislation that just got passed, and an opportunity to look at policies and put into policy kind of the state of CIOs and CISOs and the federal government for, you know, a number of years to come.
One last piece of your role is around identity management. Is there anything new around whether it's HSPD-12 or the PIV cards, or just more generally the FICAM implementation? Is there anything new you can tell us of what's going on around identity management?
From an identity management standpoint, step one for us right now, or that we're in the middle of, I would say, we're doing a policy review. So policies and standards associated with identity credential access management, so that we can see what needs to be cleaned up as we're doing FISMA, as we're redoing A130, as we're implementing FITARA, lots of policy things going on. So I expect us to continue on the PIV card path. We're going to keep pushing on agencies to get those implemented. Strong authentication is a huge. Two-factor authentication is huge and necessary for our security, because that's very much the front door of a lot of the things we need to do from an overall cybersecurity posture.
We know CDM, the Continuous Diagnostics Mitigation Program, is progressing under DHS and under GSA from an acquisition perspective. From OMB's perspective, just give me a sense. You're overseeing it in a sense as well. How's it going? What's the latest with the CDM program?
From a status standpoint right now, we're on the verge of making some contract awards for our task order 2 work under phase 1. So really that ability to identify and understand the assets and the status of devices on the systems and network. And we're starting with a DHS award hopefully shortly, and then we'll move on to the Group B, which includes a number of other agencies in it, and really gets us to a fairly sizable piece of the overall population from an executive branch standpoint.
The task order 2, phase 1 grouping is considered just DHS as kind of the initial test case, but it seems like you guys are going pretty quickly to the Group B, which is, as you said, energy, agriculture, OPM, Executive Office of the President, a few others in there, transportation maybe. What do you hope to learn in that short time frame between the award and the Group B award?
From a learning standpoint, I think what we're going to learn is some of what's most critical and kind of the integration with the dashboard. We're always looking at the wanting to get capabilities out really quickly and then do it with as much due diligence as absolutely possible. And we think we've struck a balance between the timing to get capabilities to some of the most critical, not although they're all critical, agencies early on, and learn enough as we go from an integration standpoint and from an acquisition standpoint and everything else.
Now, I know that task order 1 under phase 1 was mainly tools. Task order 2 under phase 1 focuses on tools and services. That's going to be the key driver. I mean, the real difference maker is those services. Do I have that correct?
The integration services. So with that task order 2, you get the integration services to integrate the tools into the agency and integrate the agency level dashboards, which will of course be feeding the federal dashboard so that we have insight into the status, you know, across the board.
I've talked to DHS several times. The big news today, obviously, that John Strofford is leaving government. He has said many times that this is progressing as planned. From your perspective, what does OMB hope to see within the next year?
From an overall cybersecurity standpoint, you have to understand your environment in order to be able to protect your environment. And, you know, CDM in the next year is going to get us great amounts of insight into the situational awareness. And then with that situational awareness, we can have conversations with agencies about what needs to be done. So what patches, what revision levels, you know, what devices that maybe need to come off the network or system, but to really be able to make those proactive decisions and enhance the security pop.
A piece of the CDM program is going to be not just task order 2, but phase 2. You mentioned there was an RFI that was released about a month ago for the RFI. Just talk a little bit about that timing around the RFI and what comes next for phase 2.
So we've been working on the requirements gathering for phase 2. We're now in, you know, basically did an RFI with the BPA holders to basically address any questions they have with what we've put together to be sure we're asking for things that make sense and that they're going to be able to, quite frankly, go bid on. And so I don't remember the exact timing of that process. It's out for a little while, and then we'll move into sort of the formal parts of the solicitation and the acquisition piece.
And the acquisition piece would potentially be awarded sometime in fiscal year 15 or 16?
We're looking right now at fiscal year 16.
And then fiscal year 17, you'd see phase 3, the award, and so you'd go through the same RFI or RFP process sometime in 16 for the 17 phase 3 award.
Exactly. So we're marching down in a phased approach, and then we are looking at FY17 for phase 3 coming online.